David. Praise God. How about you guys? But man, God is good. Amen. All right. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. And man, Easter's a big deal, right? It's a big deal. We've been talking about this Sunday for the last 8 weeks. Today we're coming to the end of our sermon series called Letting Go, right? How God wants us to let go of religion, of all the things that we do, right? We started this off because when the Lent season kicks off, there's Ash Wednesday, and you talk to people at work, like, what are you giving up, and what are you giving up? And there's a lot of different things about the religious things we do, but God is calling us to a deeper relationship with Him. And today is a culmination of that, right? That Jesus is resurrected, He's not in the tomb, and it's just, I think to me, it's one of my favorite Sundays, right, honestly. Because we get to celebrate that our God is risen, that He's not dead, He is alive. And He, for every one of us in here, I always say, listen, we all have our own testimony in our walk and our journey with Jesus. And when we reflect upon what Jesus did on the cross to get us out of our pit, right, we should have that overflow of gratitude, the overflow of love and abundance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But didn't stay there, you know? He didn't stay there, which is why we don't have a... Oftentimes, you go to somebody's house, they have a big old cross, right, of Jesus, or and Jesus is like on it, right? And He didn't stay there, right? So people, it's a good reminder of His sacrifice, but He didn't stay there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, amen. And that's our God. And so today we're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of John, because you'll notice as you read the Gospels, the different accounts, how they come together and how they're woven together, right? I always think it's really nice for you to read the Synoptic Gospels and kind of see what's going on. We're going to spend a lot of time today in John, in his telling of the resurrection. And today's sermon is called The Recreation Story. The Recreation Story. And you're going to see why in a little bit. But let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And let me know when you're there, you can say amen. If you don't have a Bible, you can always follow along. You know that we always have it up there on the screen for you. We use the NIV version here. So, John chapter 20. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put Him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. I'll pause there. Right? So you guys see the context of what's going on now. The disciples, after Jesus was put on the cross, they were afraid. They were actually afraid that they were going to be next, right? And so I really like this. I always say, listen, whenever you read the Gospels, to me, I get a kick out of it. I don't know about you guys, but isn't it funny? Like, if you're going to write a book, one of the Gospels, you start to talk about yourself in third person. You guys recognize that John started to do that? He said, the other disciple, by the way, the one that Jesus loved, which is me, right? That's what he's saying, right? You're not, to me, you don't think that's funny. To me, I think that's so awesome. He's like, then what, I want to be known by this characteristic, right? That I'm the one that Jesus loved, right? And so he references, he calls himself that a lot. Isn't that a cool little, like, you know, oftentimes when we grow up, we have different nicknames, right? There's a nickname of Jasmine's cousin, they call him Gordo, right? That's his nickname, you know, or they call him this one, Flaca, or they call him, if you have a little bit of, your eyes are a little, Chino, right? We're politically correct around here. Yes or no? You know, you grew up in the area like that, where however you look, that was your nickname, sorry. This guy, John, he says he has an awesome nickname. He says, you know what, call me the disciple that Jesus loved. Yeah, and that's awesome, right? From now on, you're going to, don't call me Pastor Michael to say, Pastor Michael, Jesus' favorite. That's what you guys need to refer to me from now on, okay? I'm kidding. I can't help myself. When you read the Gospels, you kind of like add a little bit. I would say, use your imagination a little bit. To me, I always crack up. I was like, okay, John, I see you. And wasn't it funny too? He says, and the other disciple and Peter, they went running at the same time, but the other disciple, he got there first. Not only does Jesus love me more, I'm also more physically talented than Peter. He's a slowpoke. I got there first. I won the race, right? Isn't that awesome? I don't know if you guys don't pick up on that stuff, but I do. And so the tomb is empty, right? They kind of like, Mary comes back and gives report to say what? Someone's stolen the body, which is customary in those days, right? It was customary. So not only was Jesus on the cross, but now they also have stolen his body. They're like, what else can happen, right? Let's pick up. Let's pick up and we're going to keep reading in verse 11. Because it says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? Now, only the angels can say that, men. If your wife or your daughter is crying, don't hit her with the woman right there. That's not the time. Woman, why are you crying? You are not an angel. It's not going to go well for you with that approach, okay? I'm just going to say that right now. Back to the gospel. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. Oh, no, sorry. Then he asked, I'm sorry, I fast-forwarded too much. I'm in 13, right? It says, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned away from him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Amen. Isn't that an awesome scene? Classic, typical male, right? They get there, the tomb is empty, and what do? Right away, it's time to go. Peace, let's go. We're back, we're going back, right? We met the objective, we saw, and then now let's go back, right? But Mary kind of hangs around. What is she doing at the tomb? She's weeping, right? She's mourning. Not only has Jesus died, now the body's missing too, and she's mourning that. She's weeping. And she sees the two angels, right? Now, I'm going to stop and talk a little bit about Mary, this Mary. Because there's often a lot of confusion. Whenever you hear the name of Mary Magdalene, it's all kinds of different confusions about it, right? In other churches, not this church. Because this is the smartest church and the most beautiful church. Amen? That's right. That's right. In other churches, people will say, isn't that Mary Magdalene? Wasn't she a prostitute that washed Jesus' hair with the anointing? Other churches will say that. You guys heard that? Let me just clarify really quick. This is not the same Mary. Okay? Mary of Magdalene, just so you guys know, she is referenced, not yet. I gave Stephen a hard time behind the pulpit. Mary Magdalene first comes onto the scene in Luke chapter 8. I don't know if you guys know that. The first time she's referenced in the Gospels is Luke chapter 8. And so Luke chapter 8, if you guys have it here, she's referenced. And it says, right, that she was part of a small group of wealthy women that traveled with Jesus and his disciples. So if you look at Luke 1 through 3, it says, after this, Jesus was traveling about from one town and a village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and disease. And here, Mary called Magdalene, of whom 7 demons had come out of, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and others. These women were helping to support them, the disciples, out of their own means. This is the first reference to Mary Magdalene in the Gospels, okay? Now, here's what we're going to point out. Where is she from now? But she's from a city called, right now, it's called Migdol. That place actually exists. I always say, like, you guys know I'm a nerd. I love the maps. I love to geek out. But up there, that little pond of water that's there, it's actually pretty large. You guys know it. It's 7 miles wide. It's known as the Sea of Galilee. I told you guys are the smartest and most beautiful church. This is the Sea of Galilee. And this is a fishing town called Magdala, which is why when you call her name, Mary Magdalene, right? Where's she from? Right. You know people, where your friend Jose, where's he from? Oh, Jose from Parlier, right? Oh, Amala from Orange Cove, right? You guys, does that make sense? So Mary Magdalene is from Magdala. Isn't that awesome? See? I know this is a refresher for you guys because you guys already know all this stuff. Amen? Now, oftentimes she gets confused, and let me clarify, why does she always get confused with the woman, right, that anoints? Because there's multiple Marys here. I don't know if you guys know this, but Mary is a very common name. I'm honest. At the crucifixion, there was three Marys right there. Mary, Jesus' mom. There was Mary Magdalene of Magdala. There was Mary, the mom of James and John. There's a lot of Marys. They should have called them something else. Huh? We should have had different nicknames. That's like Jose's and Chewy's and all that. But it's a very common name. Now, the reason why it often gets confused is that in Luke chapter 7, in the previous chapter, there's a woman that she anoints Jesus. You guys remember this? Jesus is full in his ministry. This is the northern part of Israel, right? Galilee's right here. Nazareth is right here. And they're traveling in Luke chapter 7, and they're in a small town that's right about here in Luke chapter 7. Let's read it. Luke chapter 7, 36 to 38. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with them, he went unto the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating with the Pharisees. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And she kissed them and poured perfume on them. This is the woman, right? That is in the gospel says clearly she's lived a sinful life. Right? This woman is a prostitute. And she spent all this money anointing Jesus' feet. Jesus turns around and says, listen, he even rebukes the Pharisee in this one. He says, listen, the moment I've got here, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't even offer me a towel. But this woman who you consider a sinner, because if you remember this, the Pharisees were what? They were whispering. And they were saying, man, if he knew who was touching him right now, he wouldn't even let her come near. Make sense? Listen, this is just a quick reminder that we're not called to be Pharisees. We're called to see people where they are. Jesus saw this woman where she was and he had compassion upon her. He didn't start judging her right away like the way that we do, right? If we're honest, don't we do that? We judge, right? But he had compassion on her and she poured their perfume on his feet. Now this is Luke chapter 7. This is a different woman. Which, by the way, her name is not given to us, right? So why is there so much confusion about which Mary it is? Because in John chapter 12, right, something happens in John chapter 12 where someone's name is given, and her name is Mary. And so let's look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served him while Lazarus was among them, reclining at the table with him. Right? Then Mary took a pint of nard, right? Mary took a pint of nard and expensive perfume. She poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What's interesting about this is we just talked about this. What did we celebrate last week? Palm Sunday, right? This event that we're talking about here took place the Saturday before Palm Sunday. Now, Jesus has already made his way up north. Put the map back up on the screen, please. Jesus has already made his way. His ministry has been in full swing. He's no longer in the north, right, where Mary of Magdala was from. He's not in Nain anymore. Now he is in He's in another place called Bethany now. Bethany is next to, if you guys, how far is it from Jerusalem? It's close, yeah. Pretty close. It is very close. That's Jericho. See, man, I'm telling you guys, I love it. Right? Bethany is right here. And this is where John chapter 12 is happening, where Mary of Bethany is anointing Jesus with expensive perfume, worth how much? A year's worth of wages. Now, there's somebody that's standing by there. He's a big old hater. You guys know who he is? His name is Judas, right? He's standing by and he's like, oh, we could have sold this. And we could have fed the poor, Jesus. And Jesus kind of reviews, like, cállate. Like, he already knows he was going to betray him, right? And you have to be quiet. Because he knew that he said, this, he's doing something for me, right? You don't know what's going to happen. That's why the title of John chapter 12 is Jesus is Anointed. Because that's the Saturday before Palm Sunday, before he does a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, before he has a confrontation and clears out the tables and he does all the things that he does, right? On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then Thursday, he's betrayed by his friends. And Thursday to Friday night is the most awful thing that you could always go back and go back and look at John chapter 19 and revisit everything that Jesus endured on Good Friday. But to put a pin in this portion, right? The Mary and Magdalene that comes to the tomb, she's not the prostitute. She's not the one that anointed him, right? She was the one that was freed from seven spirits. And that's why she loved Jesus that much. So she had devotion to him because she knew what Jesus had saved her from. And those of us that have been walking with Jesus for a long time, don't we know, right? That our devotion to Jesus is not because we're like, oh, we're these crazy religious people. Because we know who we were before Jesus came to our life. Because we remember how broken we were. Because this woman might have had seven spirits, right? But we have all different kinds of proclivities. Addictions of all kinds of sorts. And Jesus came and he set her free. And then he came, he does the same for us. He sets us free. That's why what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, that he's risen, it means so much. Why we sing this, the gratitude, right? I could hear Jesse singing up there, like, gratitude, man. But hallelujah. Because what? Because those of us that have been forgiven much have much to praise him about. Amen. And that's Mary of Magdalene, who is at the tomb. Well, let's continue on. So, when other people who are confused about Mary, and when other people are telling you that she's a prostitute, you're going to tell them what? She's not, right? And you're going to bring them to the church so they can be also become part of the smartest church in Sangre, California. Amen? But they have to be beautiful too. I'm kidding. I always say, you guys are the smartest, beautiful church. Amen? Because God sees the inside, right? And some of it, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. My wife was like, shh, you're getting yourself into trouble. She gives me the look when I'm, get back in, bring it back. So Mary is weeping at the tomb. This Mary, Mary of Magdala, who had been set free from seven demons, right? She bends down, she's still at the womb. And the woman says, why are you crying? And she tells him, they're taking away my Lord. I don't know where they put him. And at that time, she sees somebody, right? To me, this is so awesome. Imagine you're crying. You're like, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And he's all right here. Isn't that our life sometimes? We're all crying. We're like Mary. We're like, oh, this thing, my dream is dead. And we're crying. And Jesus is standing right there behind you. And you think he's the gardener. You think he's there to blow your... Jesus is right there. Isn't that part of our life? Like, that's part of our testimony, man. We're going through a heartache. We're going through something. We got this crazy issue at work. We got this relationship issue. Somebody's acting crazy in the family. And we're complaining, waiting, and Jesus is right there. He's not there to do your garden. He's not there to pull your weeds. Amen? He's there to say, like, man, Jesus, can you take this? And that's awesome. But what we see here in all of John chapter 20 is that John is recreating a beautiful scene in the garden outside of the tomb through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the first fill in the blank in today's handout. If you have it, is that God is recreating a beautiful scene in the garden outside of the tomb through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's certain parallels that are being drawn here. Right? If you guys reflect back and you go back to Genesis, Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God, right, created. You guys remember that? The heavens and the earth, right? Let's read it. Now, the earth was formless, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. It says, now darkness, the earth was formless and empty darkness. Darkness was over the surface of the water. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's interesting. In John 1:1, what do we find there? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. And without Him nothing has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's two different verses. You guys see that, right? You guys pick that up? Genesis chapter 1, that there was darkness. John 1:1, right? 1:5, it says that there was, the light shines through the darkness, and it has not overcome it. John 20, verse 1 says, early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Right? You guys see the theme? That there's darkness in the world. And the place that, if we go back to the Genesis story, where did a lot of those events take place? In the Garden of Eden. Right? Where are they at now? Where is the tomb? In a garden. And we talk about darkness being there. And so you see that Jesus, God Himself, is recreating something. And how it's all interconnected, because the story of Adam and Eve and the story of the Old Testament and the story of Genesis is always a story about Jesus. Amen? Jesus in every book of the Bible. And you see how He's recreating that scene so we can draw the parallels. Because the story of Adam and Eve is one where life begins, right? But because of sin, it ends with what? With death. The wages of sin is death. You guys know that. And the story in the garden began with death. This one, the one that we're reading today. In the Garden of Eden, it was life. In this garden, it began with death in the tomb. But because of the goodness of God, right, it ends with resurrection. Right? That's awesome. So number two, the resurrection of Jesus, we're connecting the dots, reverses the curse from Genesis. The resurrection of Jesus reverses the curse from Genesis. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all have sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as did Adam, who is in the pattern of one to come. But the gift, and he's talking about Jesus now, is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass by the one man, he's talking about Adam, how much more or did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, that's Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? That's us. Amen? Let's fast forward to 18. It says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, So also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as the disobedience of the one man, Adam, were the many were made sinner, so also through the obedience of one man, the obedience unto the cross, right, the many will be made righteous. That's our story. That's our story. Through the disobedience of one man became the fall. Through the obedience of the God-man, Jesus on the cross resurrected, means that we can be made right. And we have the righteousness of Jesus imputed upon us. That's awesome. But let's get back to the story. Today's sermon has a lot of like little pit stops, right? First we took the car over, we started visiting Mary. Now we're over here, we're in the Garden of Eden. Now let's get back to the garden, right? Let's get back to the tomb. So Jesus is there. She's asking, and this is one of my favorite parts, because she didn't recognize him until he said what? Or he said what? He said her name. He said her name. And you'll hear this said a lot, that the most beautiful sound to somebody's ear is usually the sound of their own what? Name. It means, in the 80s, there was a show that people used to watch where it was a bar in Boston where a guy named Sam Malone and Norm, different people would hang out. You guys remember that? It says, sometimes I want to go where everybody knows your name. I guarantee you that no other church in the country, they're singing the Cheers song on Easter Sunday, okay? This is how we say that we're authentic to who we're going to be. That's the truth. The name, isn't it sounds, it's different, right? Imagine being Mary, disappointed, heartbroken, going through the loss, and then Jesus calls her by name. That's our story, brothers and sisters. When you're going through a tough time, Jesus will call you by name. You have to be looking for it. You've got to be listening to it. Sometimes he's right in your face. Sometimes he's like standing by like the gardener. You got to look, right? He's always there. But that's a beautiful expression. Now she recognized it and she sounds Rabboni, which means teacher. And what does he tell her to do? She tells him to go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God, your God. And Mary went with the news to tell the disciples. And she tells them, I have seen the Lord. Amen. I have seen the Lord. This is the garden story again, right? It's awesome. Number three, the reason why we celebrate what we celebrate today is because we know that Jesus is a resurrection and he is a life. Jesus is a resurrection, he is a life. And he tells us that himself in his own words in John 11:25-27. Jesus is talking here. He's talking to Martha. And he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Right? So Jesus' invitation to every single one of us. In Revelation 21:5, right, when it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, you'll see there that Jesus says, I am making everything new. And that means what? That's us too. Oftentimes, I know that's a lot of times reserved for end time prophecy. But listen, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, doesn't he come in to remake certain things that were broken in your life? He comes in to make you what? He says, you're going to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. And he comes to make things new. And that's the new heaven and new earth. But you know what Jesus did that was so awesome? He came down. We sing that song with Lisa. That heaven came down, right, to earth. His name is Jesus. And he comes to make things new. The fourth thing that we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday is that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death has also been defeated. And we see that, right? We see that in 1 Corinthians 15:24-26. Where Paul is telling us, he says, the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, all power, and all authority. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Right? I don't know about you guys, but man, this is why Jesus is just awesome. Yeah? Amen. Because he comes down from heaven. He gives us a new birth. He makes us whole. He comes to restore our relationship with God. He comes to restore broken relationships. He comes to set us free from our addictions, from our hurt, from our bondage, from our guilt, from our shame. You fill in the blank. Jesus is the answer. Amen. We have to trust him. And he even has victory over death. And so for those of us today, what are we celebrating? And we have so much to celebrate in the person of Jesus Christ, amen, and the fact that he is resurrected. In John chapter 8, 36, it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Jesus is alive, brothers and sisters. He is risen. And he, God himself, right, was recreating a new way to be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. And he wants to do that again. He wants to do that again. There's nothing to fear, not even death. And I think for those of us that have been holding on to sin, shame, and brokenness, and it's been enslaving you, today's the day, right? Death's been defeated, and a new life is offered to you in the person of Jesus Christ. It's time to let go. I said, man, don't we like to sometimes go back to the shackles? Jesus says, I can't just set you free from all that, right? If we say yes to him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank you again for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, and all that you've done for us on the cross, Lord God. And we praise you, Lord God, because you are not in the tomb. You are resurrected, and you are alive. And so, Lord God, this morning, Lord, my prayer is that if there's somebody here that is still walking in bondage, that's still living a life of sin and shame and guilt, they don't have to do that anymore. Today is the day to accept you as Savior, Lord God. I want to have all of us imagine that we're like Mary and Magdalene, and we're seeking you out, Lord. Sometimes we're broken, we're lost, but Lord God, you call us by name. So Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Lord God, that you continue to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're calling somebody by name today. They would say yes, because I'm sick and tired of living a life of death and suffering and shame and guilt, and I want to be free. And that only comes by accepting you as Savior, Lord God. So if there's somebody here that hasn't done that, just follow me along. Follow along in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and you gave your life on the death, a painful and shameful, humiliating death for the forgiveness of my sins. Lord Jesus, help me to live for you from this day forward. Help me to answer, Lord God, when you call my name. Help me to live for you from this day forward. Now, if that's you, I'd like for you to come seek me after church and just let me know how. We just want to encourage you on your walk and on your journey. Or if you made a recommitment to Jesus because you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, come see me after service as well. Because we want to walk alongside you on this journey. You're not made to do this thing alone. And for the rest of us, Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your sacrifice and mercy. Renew us, Lord, daily through mercy every day. Draw us nearer to you, Lord God. Put in our hearts, Lord, a desire to know you more, Lord God, to know more about you, to fall in love with you every single day. Like it was the first day that we said yes. Renew that desire in our hearts, Lord God. Thank you again that you are resurrected, that you are awesome. Lord, we love you. And this morning, we're also going to celebrate communion. Because what we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us, we remember that everything that he did was so intentional that week. And Jesus came in to town right as Passover was about to begin, as a celebration was going to unfold. And as we gather today around the Lord's table on Resurrection Sunday, we're also going to remember the sacrifice that he made to make salvation possible. Jesus is the perfect Passover lamb. His blood was spilled for the forgiveness of our sins in the same way that the priest would take the lamb without blemish and try to mediate them on their behalf for the forgiveness of the people of Israel. But we are so thankful, Lord Jesus, that your blood covers us and saves us from eternal death. John 1:29, we see John saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, "For Christ is our Passover Lamb who has been sacrificed." Because on Jesus on the cross, he bore the weight of our guilt, of our shame and punishment. He was perfect, without sin. And yet, he gave himself up so we could be forgiven. So today we celebrate not just his death, but also his resurrection. And we know that his power is in his sacrifice and the victory that we find in him. So as we're going to get ready to take communion, I want us all to reflect. Because Paul gives us a very clear warning as well in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in a manner that is unworthy, they'll be guilty of sinning against the body of the blood of the Lord. And everyone should examine themselves before they eat the bread or drink of the cup." So while I'm praying for us as a body corporately, I want you to pray and ask God right now to forgive you for any unrepentant sin you have right now. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. So, Father God, forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Forgive us for the sins that we commit and also the sins of omission, Lord God, when you were being disobedient to you, Lord Jesus. Father God, forgive us, Lord. Your will tells us that when and at the same time, if we're harboring any resentment or unforgiveness, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to just get rid of that. We can't come before you and ask you to forgive us and we're holding on to our own hurt, our own pain, and we're saying, "I will never forgive that person for what they did." And yet, we want Jesus to forgive us. That's not how it works. Jesus himself says, if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters, your Father's not going to forgive you in heaven. So right now, as much as it may hurt to let go of that thing that has been holding you back and that anger, resentment, Lord, just give it to Jesus. We're not saying give that person a free pass, but God says vengeance will be his. So give it to Jesus because he can bear it. We can't bear it. All we walk along with is depression and anger, anxiety. Our blood pressure is high. We're not meant to carry that burden of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift that Jesus has given us, that God has given us through his Son on the cross. So if that's you this morning, give it to Jesus. Walk in the freedom that he's inviting you to have. Lord Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our unforgiveness. And help us to walk in your peace, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you are the perfect Passover Lamb. Thank you that you've given your body, that it was broken for us, that you've given your blood to cleanse us. And Lord, that in your resurrection we find eternal. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for all that you've done for us, for your love for us, for your sacrifice. We come in front of you, Lord God, with a heart that is full of gratitude to you, Lord God, for the free gift of salvation, for loving us when we were at our worst, for loving us when we were far apart from you. You sent Jesus, a lamb that was without blemish, to die in our place. When we deserved your wrath and justice, you give us love and grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, as we celebrate, Lord, Resurrection Sunday, that you're not calling us just to celebrate this. You're calling us to go and spread the good news of who you are. So help us, Lord God, to live out the mandate. We're filled with the same Spirit, Lord God. Fill the disciples, Lord, in the upper room, Lord. Fill that came upon the early church in Pentecost. Lord God, the same spirit lives within us to go do some bold things for you, Lord Jesus. Help us to proclaim the truth and the goodness and the hands and your feet. Declare, Lord God, that you are King and that you came to seek and save the lost, Lord God. Help us to do that to the best of our ability. Lord God, thank you again for this day. And thank you that you're risen. And the, Lord God, today we honor you as a risen King of our lives. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.